You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company on this Tuesday. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall are with you and we are ready for another golfing week. We've got the Volvo China Open and the Wells Fargo Championship on the agenda. A warm welcome to the man sitting opposite me here in the studio, Dave Tindall. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. We're both a bit frustrated. Me, because I couldn't park. I've been driving around Leeds for 30 minutes. What's going on? And you're very frustrated about last week, aren't you?
Yeah, I get the feeling I was overthinking last week because convinced going into the Masters that John Rahm was due
as
a
I was,
big win.
Yeah.
And I know it wasn't a big win, but it happened the week after in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, playing with Ryan Palmer, and they used Ryan Palmer's golf ball for the foursomes, and Rahm was absolutely superb. He just had an unbelievable week, and they won, and it was never really in any doubt on the Sunday.
No, they pulled away, didn't they? A few teams made a run, didn't they? Fleetwood and Garcia, but then Rahm just sort of took over, didn't he? And that was that. Never in doubt. And
yeah.
What, 16s were they?
Yeah, 16-1. So it's not like a monster price winner you're missing, but it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I was annoyed. Annoyed on Sunday night, and they were the team that I fancied at the top of the order. And
but there were some weird teams who got in the places. To be fair,
yes.
if you're taking a wild approach, anyone can win approach. If you've got the right ones, there were some three-figure prices knocking about.
I think they need to swap the order of the event, don't they? They need to go foursomes rounds 1 and 3, four balls rounds 2 and 4.
They did that a couple of years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure why they've changed that, because it just there was a lack of excitement on the Sunday, whereas in four balls you would have had teams making birdies left, right and centre, putting pressure on, and I just think they need to change the order back.
Right.
What was your opinion? Did you have any opinion?
I think you're only saying that because the leaders were so good.
Maybe so.
I think, was it the year before, was it Scott Brown and Kistner shot 77 and finished 15th? And that sort of made it more exciting because there's more volatility. In four balls, surely everyone's sort of birdieing every hole, so everyone's sort of moving on. I think you can get more wild fluctuations doing it the way they do now. It's just that Rahm was so good it didn't happen.
Okay.
So there.
And it's not an event that you particularly like, is it though? Would you rather it go back to the standard stroke player?
Possibly, yeah. It felt like it was sort of December, silly season.
And it was an all Spanish affair because the other event, the European Tour event, was won by Jorge Campillo.
His
first win, last long standing maiden. It was a bunch leaderboard. A number of those that we talked about that were 25-1 were vying for the title on Sunday, and Campillo came out on top.
Yeah, held his nerve well. Probably helped that he was up against others looking for the first win, like Van Rooyen and who was the other one? Thingy.
I've forgotten who was up there now.
The Zimbabwean born American.
Crocker.
Yeah. So normally you can add a sort of rude word at the end of his name if he's not playing so well. But they all. Sometimes you can think, well, is he ever going to win? And then you sort of rule him out, time form squiggle and all that business. But a lot of them do, don't they?
It's important not to do that, isn't it?
I think
you can't be too reactive.
And then you think, well,
you've got to keep an open mind.
Yeah, and then you think, oh, he can never win. And I'm not backing him at sort of 20s and stuff because he never wins. But his form is ridiculous, isn't it? Now he's, the last five starts, he's got a win, 2 seconds and a third.
Yeah.
So very easy to argue he was an each-way price last week, I guess.
Let's get stuck into this week then. We'll start with the Volvo China Open, where Haotong Li is the 12-1 favourite. Julian Suri, he was up there as well, 16-1. He's alongside Eric Van Rooyen in the betting at 16s. Jorge Campillo is 18-1. Jordan Smith, 20-1. Thomas Dietrich, Alexander Levy, Alexander Bjork, Fabrizio Zanotti, Jazz, Ross Fisher, all 25-1. And it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. And the event is on the move as well. After 3 years at the Topwin Golf and Country Club, the event has moved to Genzon Golf Club, which was used for this tournament back in 2014 and has hosted the Shenzhen International on the European Tour from 2015 to 2017. And taking advantage of the par fives has been the key to success on this course, which was redesigned by Neil Haworth back in 2008. It's a par 72 measuring 7,145 yards, and it's pretty typical, or a typical track for this part of the world. Water in play on a number of holes, but plenty of birdies expected to be made over the course of the week as well, Dave.
Yeah, those par fives, you mentioned par fives, they are quite short, and if you read some of the player quotes, they, you can go for them in two. Sometimes you get to these China courses and it's like the ninth is like 648 yards. I think that's not fun, is it? But these, you can get to them. And it's not a sort of theoretical argument that Levy and Kyrgios did top the par five stats back in 2014. So, yeah, it's a big thing. I certainly looked at par five scoring this week. I made a conscious decision to have a look at that.
Yeah, it might be worth bearing in mind that Kyriadek Happy-Barnevat, Soomin Lee and Bernd Wiesberg are the three winners at this course when it hosted the Shenzhen International, were making their course debuts the year of their win as well. So course form not necessarily a prerequisite in my opinion this week. It's a pretty straightforward straightaway golf course.
Yeah, I think it may be a more general approach if you've played well in China or Hong Kong. You're just used to that part of the world, that might add a little few points. But certainly par fives, those three winners you mentioned, I think they were something like minus 8, minus 9 and minus 10 for the week in the par five. So you've got to score the par fives well. You can't just have an average week on them if you're going to win.
I've just got one pick.
Yeah, me too.
Mine's towards the top of the betting. Is yours?
He is. Looking at our list, he's joint 13th favourite.
Okay, yours is a slightly bigger price than mine. So do you want me to go first?
You go first, yeah.
Ross Fisher is my number one selection, 25-1.
He's been backed in, hasn't he? Because I think when we went up early, as we do, I saw red flashing on him, and that was at 33s.
Oh,
the red,
right,
was,
okay.
So I think he might have gone up at 40s or something.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, sorry to
well, that's annoying. Because 25s is like, it's pretty much market price now. I think it's still a decent price on Ross Fisher. He's been putting in a lot of work with Dennis Pugh in the lead up to this return to tour action. He's not played for 6 weeks. And even though, once again, in my opinion, you can make a case for a number of those guys at 25-1 this week in that price range anyway, I'm sure Fisher will be ready to go. And it's worth noting that Campillo returned from a month break when winning last week. He finished 13th on his latest start in the Maid Bank Championship, where he was 12th in driving distance, led the field in greens in regulation as well, and that augurs very well as he returns to a course where he's had plenty of success in the past. Finished third at the Shenzhen in 2017, 15th and 16th the previous 2 years as well. He puts these greens well, which I think is going to be key this week for Fisher, because when he does tend to falter, it's with the flat stick. And I really like his chances. 15th on tour in strokes gained approach. I think he'll set up plenty of birdie opportunities, and he's got a good record in China as well. So 25-1, Ross Fisher, my sole selection for the event.
Yeah, I think he's got to be on the radar, hasn't he, this week, for all you've said. And I can remember him nearly winning the HSBC a long time ago in China, so he's always played well there.
He's been an early man in his career, hasn't he, really? Ross Fisher, a nearly man.
Yes, I thought you said an early man.
No, not an early man, right. A nearly man.
Right.
He has been, though, hasn't he? I think he's promised to deliver on a number of occasions and failed to meet his high expectations, I'm sure.
Yeah. There was that year, wasn't there, when he won the Majors Cup? You know, that kind of non-official award that you get for shooting the combined lowest 16-round score in the majors. He won it.
He was
2009,
in,
I think.
Was that when it was? Yeah. He was in contention.
The US Open, he was in contention.
The Open Championship, yeah. He had a big chance to win it. I think he led going into the back nine on Sunday and made nine on one of the holes and then parred in and missed out. But I just remember him, he hit a poor drive and was just hacking. Yes. Rough to rough to rough, basically.
Yeah, he's... how old is he?
Oh, I wouldn't...
Not too...
Would you say he'd be 39?
Sort of the grey hair's come a bit early, hasn't it, for him? But
That's a complete wild guess. What would you say, if you had to guess?
A bit younger than that. 37.
Okay. I'm going 39.
And the answer is...
He is 38.
Well, there
so
we
there
are.
You go.
Not a bad... Not a bad guess. Yeah, I he's a sort of funny one, isn't he, Ross Fisher? He's a bit sort of serious, but trying to be funny.
Do you think so?
I remember following him at an Open once, and he had this caddy, and it was kind of the relationship between Alan Partridge and Dan.
Right, okay.
It was really sort of odd. I bet they thought they were hilarious, but they sort of weren't.
Right.
That's by the by, of course.
I don't think.
Put him off for being like Alan Partridge, but put off betting on him. But he's a class player, but he should win more, shouldn't he? That goes without question. He's got the ability.
Without question. I think you've got to back him each way, Ross Fisher, because I can see him contending, but maybe not winning.
Yes.
25-1 anyway, Ross Fisher.
Very good.
Your selection?
Yeah, my selection is David Lipsky.
David Lipsky?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why he's... His joint 13th favourite. I think he should be in there with the 25-1s and
33s.
20. Yeah, he's ninth on the race to Dubai this year. Only Campillo is shorter of those who are taking part this week, or higher. He has just got everything you want. He's won recently in the Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa. He went to the Mexico Championship against all the big guns, finished 10th, 13th at last week starts, 13th at the Maybank, went to the Corrales Punta Cana, that PGA Tour event in the Dominican Republic, was 22nd. That was a decent knock.
Yep.
And a 5th again in Morocco last week. So he's got all the current form that you want. Checked his Genzen form last time he played it, 5th. In 2017, he's got a 5th in the Hong Kong Open. He's got another 9th in this tournament when it was a top win. And the final clincher for me, I looked at the par 5 stats. I wasn't particularly thinking I'd find him anywhere anytime soon, but he was 13th in par 5 scoring. So all in all, I don't know how old, playing the age game, how old do you think he is?
Oh, David Lipsky.
I thought he's been around 8.
No, he'll be a lot younger than Ross Fisher.
Yeah, but I thought...
I'd go. He might still be. He'd be still in his 20s, I think. Not in his 20s.
You're not meant to say that. You meant to say higher than I could surprise you by answering.
All right.
That.
Okay. Go on.
I thought he was about 32, 33 because he seems to have been around.
Yeah.
A long time. Not almost journeyman in the sense that he's only so good, isn't he? And I don't know. Maybe he's a bit better. He's 30, so he's got plenty of time to kick on and go.
I was going to guess 29.
Okay. Take a sharp upward curve and. From what we've seen so far this year, this could be his year, and I don't think he should be going off 13th favourite in a field like this, basically.
33-1, David Lipsky is Dave's sole selection. Let's talk about the guys that came closest to making the picks. Thomas Dietrich, I thought, had a big chance. But
yeah, good in par 5 scoring again.
Very good in par 5 scoring, 25-1. See, first is tour it, title
why
isn't
is
too
he
far away.
8 points short in Lipsky, that's a sort of good example of highlighting
example.
It.
Yeah, I think 25-1 was too short, but I do think he will go well, Thomas
yes,
Dietrich.
Yes, I do.
And the man that I put up last week played well, Alexander Bjork.
Yes.
25-1, he's defending champion. And... It was, I thought, a good return, given that he finished tied 9th and never really in contention last week. Skirted, he was on the fringes on Friday.
Yeah,
Bjork,
he had a slowish first round, as you would expect. He was shaking some rust off.
Yeah, this decent pipe opener for this week, possibly.
And Levy's won this tournament on different Chinese courses, so I don't think you can immediately say, oh, but he's defending on a different course. In a funny way, it might have a reverse good effect on him that... It's more like a fresh start.
I definitely don't think it's a negative.
No, I think he's got plenty of good form.
Alex Levy just Levy loves this as well. Alex, just going to Alex Levy.
Yes.
He loves these kind of conditions.
It does, and I think
soft golf course.
Yeah, there's when I looked at the weather forecast, I think it's due to be quite stormy tonight. So they're what, about 7 hours ahead, I think. So maybe now, if you check the weather forecast, we're talking here Tuesday morning, but. Yeah, he should get the conditions he wants, Alexander Levy, and he's just bizarrely good, isn't he, in China. And I think he can scrub last week's miscut in Morocco.
Yeah.
He can do that. He can go off, can't he?
He can. Any others you want to mention before we move on?
Well, talk about the favourite, Hao Tong Li.
I just thought he was too short.
Yeah.
I didn't... he's not in... incredible form, is he?
No, like the back end of last year, you would have maybe backed him at 12s for this, but he seems to have just taken a dip.
I could happily leave him.
Yeah, he shot a good final round at the Masters, 68.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the negatives, you think, a lot of pressure on him, but he's won this event, so.
I think he thrives under those conditions.
And he's a really top bloke, so I do hope he wins.
Yeah.
Unless Lipsky, second. You can have second Hao Tong.
Okay, should we move on to the other event?
Yes.
The Wells Fargo Championship is probably the big betting event of the week. Rory McIlroy heads the market at 6-1. Jason Day is 10-1. Ricky Fowler is 12s, along with Justin Rose. Hideki Matsuyama and Webb Simpson and Sergio Garcia are all 20s. Tony Finau is 22s. 25-1, Phil Mickelson, Paul Casey, Gary Woodland, and 28-1 and bigger the rest. This is an event to savour. It's played on a championship golf course with a top quality field. Quail Hollow has hosted this event since 2003, apart from in 2017 when it was being prepped for the PGA Championship, and it's a fine test. The ability to move the ball both ways off the tee is a definite advantage. Seriously long though nowadays as well. Players to a yardage of 7,554 yards as a par 71, and that's been changed from a par 72 prior to the 2018 edition. The par fives are certainly like China, the scoring holes on the layout, and there are some seriously meaty par fours as well. What do you see as keys this week in terms of maybe strokes gained stats or form on correlating courses when you're looking to pinpoint a winner for this event?
I do want a big hitter on my side, I have to say.
Yeah, I do as well.
You just do. I mean, sometimes it can be a slight red herring. You just look at the simple yardage and think, so-and-so yardage must equal big hitter, but I think in this case it does. I do like a bit of course form as well here. I was looking at the winners, apart from the sort of freakish year when Derek Ernst won. Don't know how that ever happened. Wasn't it bad greens that year?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
And is it James Hahn, the other one? The other winners have all had a top 10 previously, I think going back to about 2010.
Okay.
So I think if you've laid down a marker, that's good.
I've actually got a couple of big prices that haven't got... They have got some course form, but yeah, not much of it.
It's a bit of a... it's one where you could happily focus near the top end... and there's every chance that the winner's going to come from that top 10 in the betting, or you could get a bit of a skinner down the other end. But that's probably good. We've got some balance because I've gone near the top end of the market.
Oh, well, I've gone much further down, yeah. So it's probably a good, yeah, like you say, a good balance for the podcast.
Yeah, the only one a bit in the middle of that maybe that was Aaron Wise at 50s. He's been back, I think.
He's just too short.
Was he 66 early show, maybe?
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
I did see some 70 around as well.
Because he was runner-up last year and you could see him doing well on a big course like this. Requires some hitting. But yeah, I've gone for two very top-line players, but not the very top end of it. McIlroy, Day and Rose, I've swerved those.
Okay, I'll let you lead off here then. My two are at bigger prices.
Yeah, I'm going for Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, he was one that I I thought long and hard about. Missed the cut last year, but prior to that, had progressive form at this at this course. And he's just coming to the boil, isn't he?
Yeah. His Masters was weird because I think it looked like he was going to finish last on day one, didn't it? And you thought, well, he's not making the cut. What a disappointing start.
I obviously backed him.
Yeah, I did.
And I'd ripped my slip up after five holes.
So it was just, oh, really?
Yeah.
And as we see at the Masters, get off to a slow start. You're not getting it back. That's what happened with Rory. You've got to be up with the pace early. And so he sort of, not his heart went out of it, but he knew he wasn't going to win from very early on. And he finished 32nd. I mean, his middle rounds of 17-68 were right up there with, he suddenly came, you think maybe if he could go really, he could run into a place, but didn't get it going on the final round. So not a great week for him, certainly not what we expected, but there was some signs there that he's on the way back, and we keep saying that. 8th at the Players' Championship, 9th at Genesis Open. He's got lots and lots of good form. I backed him here a couple of years ago in the USPGA when he was halfway leader, I think, and just kind of creaked a bit on the weekend when there's a lot of pressure on him to get that first major win.
Yeah.
But he was still 5th there last year, and that followed 11th and 20th in the two previous Wells Fargo editions here. So it is a course he plays really nicely. So he's got that nice bank of course form. He's coming into form. And I think he's going to win soon. He is a proven winner. And I think kind of 20-1 is acceptable enough for him.
Yeah.
Because former world number two, he's right up there with the best players when he's on.
Mm.
And putted quite well at the Masters, which maybe is holding back. I think he's ready to go in somewhere, and I think this is an obvious place.
Yeah, Hideki Matsuyama 20-1, I can definitely see that. I'm going with Sam Burns as my first selection. 100-1 Sam Burns.
You like him, don't you?
Yeah, it seems like a decent spot for him. I think he's a very good player. He's a blisteringly good putter on Bermuda greens as well, which he'll encounter this week. And barring that miscut last week when he played with an out-of-form Cameron Champ in the Zurich Classic, he's been in good shape. You wouldn't necessarily think of Harbortown as being a good fit for Burns, but he finished tied 9th there, and that came on the back of a tie for 12th in the Dominican and 23rd place finish in the Texas Open. He's been actually strong throughout the bag in those performances, but his true strength is with the driver. I do look for strokes gained off the tee as one of a key metric this week, and on the greens he's very good as well, particularly when putting on Bermuda. So this course is actually a perfect setup for him. He played it once, he finished 55th last year. So I'm hoping for a much better showing this time, and I can see Sam Burns going well at 100-1.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Second selection?
Yeah, second selection. I think at the start of the year, and this, I think Tiger winning the Masters has kind of jolted me again with this. Phil Mickelson. Yeah. I'm going to back Phil Mickelson because I think they're maybe at the stage of their career now where it's quite a smart and profitable move to just to back them on courses where they always finish in the top five or win.
Mm.
So Tiger at the Masters, obviously, he'd had four wins and God knows how many near misses. Mickelson too, you could have applied it at the Masters, and he had a decent Masters, to be fair, top 20. But here he's just never gone away, has he? Bizarrely, he's not won, but you kind of go through the years. He's got 5th, 7th, 3rd, 5th, 2nd, 9th, 3rd, 4th, 4th, 5th. And they're not going back years and years. He was 5th again last year.
Yep.
It's just one of those courses. I think, do you remember at the Ryder Cup he said he's not going to enter events where that courses don't suit? Well, this is one that absolutely suits him. And the best evidence we've got of it being wise to back Mickelson on courses that suit him was when he won Pebble Beach again for the 5th time. So I think on these courses, unless he's got really collared, but I thought 25-1... is reasonable, and you could put him in at 25s on the course that's just nowhere near as suitable as this. He can smash driver all day long. He's still giddy, isn't he, that he can hit it as far as some of the young guns. You see Butch Harmon slightly rolling his eyes that Mickelson is still obsessed with trying to hit it a long way.
Yeah.
Surely after 25 years in the game, you've got to realise that there are other elements that go into being a champion. That's his, he's obsessed, isn't he? But he can still do it. So
yep.
I think it's almost good, because it maybe gives him a new lease of life. And certainly on a course like this, he'll go there and think, well, yeah, I can still smash it, keep up with those big guns. So I thought 25 to 1 was certainly a good each way price, and he can still win tournaments.
25 to 1, Phil Mickelson, Dave's second selection. I'm going with Keith Mitchell as my second
pick. Yeah, very close. He would be third or fourth.
Yeah. He just looks an obvious one for me.
Big hit in Bermuda.
Big hit in Bermuda. Classical golf course. In a strong field. He's already taken down a top class field this season in tough scoring conditions at PGA National in the Honda Classic. He backed that up with a tie for sixth at Bay Hill, a course that correlates well with this one, given that, well, the obvious one's McIlroy, who's won on both. And if you remember, the Honda win came on the back of a string of substandard performances as well, so I'm not unduly concerned about his recent form either. The putter has actually let him down recently. The ball striking is definitely there. Ranks 15th strokes gained off the tee on tour this season, and should go very well on a course that suits. He was actually 34th on debut in this event last year. Was first in ball striking at the course last year, which I thought was very interesting, given he finished down in 34th, 8th in strokes gained tee to green in the event last year. Another stat that is a definite positive for Mitchell. And 80-1, I thought was fair enough. So 80-1, Keith Mitchell, my second pick.
Yeah, jolly good.
Should we talk through...
Near misses? Yeah, I was close with Lucas Glover. I think if you're talking... Bermuda, then if you look back at how he played on the Florida Swing, he was fourth at the Honda Classic, 10th at the Arnold Palmer, and he's 13th at the Valspar. I think everybody's got 11 top 10s this year, so he's been a bit of a machine. And obviously on this course, he's won here 2011 and finished second and fourth.
Yeah.
So eighth as well a couple of years ago, 2016, 3 years ago. So sometimes, I don't know, you can keep backing the player, and after a while you think, well, he's not going to win, is he? So he's maybe had his chance. But I think it's a bit dangerous. I think he's playing the sort of golf that could still win if it just clicks a tiny bit more. And having that edge of having won here before, I thought 40s is certainly a decent each-way price.
Jason Kokrak, 33-1.
I thought you'd be on him,
to be honest. He's got local ties, hasn't he? And he keeps on playing...
Bit short for you.
Well, but he's short, isn't he? 33-1.
Yeah.
I think he's alongside some elite players there, isn't he? 33s. So that was a little bit short. I thought Joel Damon would go well.
Yeah.
He's 100-1, playing really solid golf at the moment. Tied 12th at the Players, tied 16th at the Heritage on his latest start, 16th in this event last year as well. It doesn't quite have the same upside as Keith Mitchell, I don't think, and he's only a slightly bigger price.
Yeah, kind of for your Keith Mitchell, you could throw in a Luke List, similar, wax it a mile, good on Bermuda.
Yeah,
he was ninth here last year, 16th on debut 2013. He's just slightly gone off it a little bit.
And he's had way more chances to win, hasn't
he?
And not sealed the deal.
It was a bit unlucky that time when Justin Thomas beat him, because that was Justin Thomas kind of... peak Justin Thomas. So here, I think 80 is a fair price. I was looking to see if there's a weighing on Sung Jae-im, but he's 40, so he's
ducked him.
Yeah, sometimes the Asian players don't get a little underrated, but with him they're all over him, aren't they, really? So 40s I thought was very cautious.
Local boy Webb Simpson.
Yeah, I think I've given him too many chances here before.
Yeah, I'd maybe just not long enough off the tee either.
Might just hold him back slightly. Yeah.
Maybe. So I think if it's fast and firm, and he can keep up, I think he's got a good chance. But 20-1 isn't giving anything away either, is it?
No. Paul Casey, is he a bit bigger because he was so bad at the Masters than he should be here?
I think so. Maybe
25s, slightly. Tony Finau.
He had a terrific Masters, didn't he?
The old Bermuda thing.
Yeah. 22-1 was short enough for me.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, player you don't want to win. Have you got one this week?
Well, I do want him to win in a way, but how Tong Levy wins, yeah. I'll be a bit...
Mine would have been Hideki Matsuyama,
but Glover, actually. Lucas Glover
as
well.
Yeah, Lucas Glover, yeah. Mine would have been Hideki Matsuyama, but obviously with you on him now, I'll be cheering him on as long as my players aren't in contention. thank you for your company, Dave. Give us your... Recap your picks for the week.
Yes. So in China, I'll go a point each way on David Lipsky at 33-1. And in the Wells Fargo... I'll go a point and a half each way, Hideki Matsuyama at 20s, and also a point and a half each way, Phil Mickelson at 25s.
I fancy Ross Fischer this week. I'm going a point and a half each way, Ross Fischer at 25-1 in the Volvo China Open, and a point each way on Sam Burns at 100-1 and Keith Mitchell at 80-1 in the Wells Fargo Championship. Dave, thank you for your company.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Any feedback can be directed to myself and Dave on Twitter at dkellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf. Make sure you check out all the betting at sports.williamhill.com and on the William Hill app as well. And hopefully you're having a bet with William Hill this week and you enjoy it. The action coming from the Volvo China Open and the Wells Fargo Championship. And myself and Dave will be back again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.